Hello, everybody, and welcome to our March 2020. I can't believe it's March already. It's crazy. March 2020 case study call for NEPT. And I have two cases tonight that have been submitted. One is from Cindy and one is Mihaela. So we'll do Cindy first because hers came in first. And I am going to share my screen so you can see the case. What are you bouncing on a ball, Mihaela? A step thing?
Biking.
Biking. Oh, this is great. I love it. All right. So here we go. All right. So you should see my screen. See it?
Yes.
Okay. So we're looking at a female, 50-year-old female, 5'10", 136, currently unemployed, married, no children, and here are her concerns. So, and is this somebody you've been working with for a while or just started with?
Somebody, a very close friend, close relative, actually it's my sister. So.
Okay. If you can handle working with your sister or your mother or your father or whatever, you are really good. So it's good practice. Osteoporosis diagnosed in 2019, so really short while ago, October, so not even 6 months ago. Endocrinologist noted moderate fracture risk. Doctor suggesting this, of course, Fosamax, good old Fosamax, and she's concerned about taking drugs, but worried about further deterioration, doesn't take them. Good, because we have some really good, effective solutions that work better than this. Low energy, gets tired easily, cardiovascular. Is this that she has been diagnosed with or she just wants to present?
She just has a concern.
Concern. Numbness in leg, concern for future. Okay. All right, so numbness in legs. What are we thinking when you hear of numbness in legs?
Per circulation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But what's something else you want to make sure you rule out?
Could be related to her nerves or?
Yeah, could be related to nerves. It could be related to circulation. So what are a couple of things that would be fairly easy for you to test for and ask questions about to rule out an involvement?
Not sure.
I'll give you a hint. Oops. What can cause peripheral neuropathy? Now, we don't know if this is peripheral neuropathy, but, when there's numbness in the legs, you want to rule that out. So it could be blood sugar.
Related, okay.
Blood sugar related, right? So you're on the right track with the nerves, and the nerves are part of that. The nerves and the circulation are related to peripheral neuropathy. So those are the kinds of things. So I just give you my thought processes. I hear a case. I only heard tiny little bit. 50-year-old woman, osteoporosis, low energy, and cardiovascular concerns, maybe because she has numbness in her legs. So all the things that are going through my mind is, yes, the osteoporosis, we can look at that. What's the cause of the osteoporosis? Is it going to be a dietary thing? Is it, that she just doesn't have a good diet? Is it a digestion thing that she's not absorbing nutrients from her food? Is it interfering factors? Things that are interfering with her minerals, low stomach acid, et cetera. And then when I hear of, low energy and numbness, then I want to make sure her blood sugar, because, many people have neuropathies long before any doctor would diagnose them with diabetes. So let's see, surgeries. She had a uterine polyp removed a few years ago. She had eye surgery from corneal scrapings. So did she have contact lens damage or what happened to her corneal?
Well, she was diagnosed, I'm not sure if this is related, with Salzman nodule degeneration. So she's had very dry eyes for the longest time. It was just something that the doctor recommended.
Okay. And what did you call it?
Salzman nodule degeneration. They said it was a rare eye condition.
Okay, that I didn't know about, because I know about Sjogren's disease, which can cause dryness in the eyes, and that's an autoimmune. And then we start to think autoimmune. Mm-hmm. What else is autoimmune, right? Oh, I see it right there. Salzman. Corneal specialist installed punctural Okay, so to make, requested for first bone density, osteopenia. Okay, good. It's not already the osteoporosis. So, at age 48, now at age 50. So it's getting worse. So she's got stuff she needs to be working on. Had amalgams removed. Let me think about amalgams, right? If they're not done properly, did she do it with the rubber damming and all that?
Right, yes.
Good. Because we start to think about toxicity and that, demineralizing the bone. Okay. Age 48, started to see a functional medicine practitioner, feels much better after starting AIP, no longer eats dairy, gluten, or grains. Yay, nightshades has recently reintroduced some nuts and seeds. Currently taking supplements for nutrition and detox support. Okay, so you have a master tracker, we'll look at that. Parasite protocol, doing a bacterial protocol. Okay, so she's got good stuff. So just because she's your sister, right? How she's working with a functional medicine doc, which is great because she's not going to be just hearing it from you. Did she start working with you because you're saying, hey, I want practice, I want to work with you, or because there was something that she felt was missing or could have been done better with the functional doc?
Well, we've always shared, I share some of my learnings with her, and when she got the recommendation or the diagnosis of osteoporosis, we were chatting, and I said, well, before you start any medication, it's suggested to consider natural alternatives. I said, there's probably things that I can look into in my course. So I started digging in, and she actually had gotten just this past weekend a prescription filled, and she was planning to take it. And I convinced her, I said, please wait till after the case study call, because by that time she had agreed to look into it. And I started looking further on the weekend into the calcium module, which led me to your bone building module. So I started learning more. And as I was learning things, I was sharing it with her, and she decided to hold off and taking it. And was a relief to both of us.
Yes.
She's looking more into it, and she joined an osteoporosis forum online. So hearing from other people and their concerns, not just jumping to drugs right away, has been helpful as well. So she's not just hearing it from me either. She's hearing it from other people who are actually experiencing the same thing.
Awesome. And the thing about the drugs, and Mihaela could probably talk to this much better than I can, is that it's not really solving the problem, right? And that drug is so challenging. You have to stand up when you eat it. I don't know if it's still like that, but it just can cause so many problems with the body. And actually it increases density, but doesn't necessarily decrease fracture risk, right? Which is okay, so I have all these side effects and I've got denser bones, but I have the same risk of fracture.
Right.
I don't care how thin my bones are. What I care about is my fracture risk. Right. So it's really good that you convinced her to hold off. Have you given her anything to start on yet?
So I've been looking into some recipes and suggesting some of the things, like the one of the smoothie with like the nettles and the alfalfa and all of that. I don't know if she's tried that yet, but she has increased her number of leafy greens and things in her smoothies. And then I did suggest some more exercise, because she does lead a sedentary life. I shared with her a link to someone who actually does the bone building type of exercises. Right. And when I was reading, there was a link to a book that you had suggested. So I shared that with her as well. Right. Not that she started on that yet. And then I said, I know there's more recipes. I'm going to dig them out and send them to her.
Yes.
So I'm looking into that. And I did make some recommendations around based on her diet. I know she's very disciplined in many things. She still has a cup of black tea every morning. And I explained after I read through your documentation that is very acidic and takes away the calcium, which means she's concerned she's not getting enough calcium in her diet. So she started using chronometer to kind of track that. And then I explained that part of what I read was that you had suggested that maybe the RDA isn't necessarily as accurate as it could be. So even if she's not getting the 1,000 milligrams per day, if she's cutting out some of these other things, then she may not need that much.
Right. If she cuts out the acids, because the acids will draw. So less animal protein, more greens,
Right.
And you know, she doesn't necessarily need it. But the other point is, on a diet that's high in leafy greens and, you know, good seeds and all that, I've calculated my calcium intake, and it's usually in the 1400 a day just from whole foods. So it is possible to meet the RDAs easily. It's just a matter of looking at it. And the chronometer is great. So it's a great start. Great start. She has some great habits. She goes to bed early, but she wakes up at 3 or 3:30 and the cats wake her. So she doesn't have solid sleep and the snacks before bed. So do you have any lab work on her?
Yes. So in the Master Health Tracker is her latest blood work, and it does show some trends over a few months time. So I was hoping for your input on that, because I'm not.
Yeah, I'll look at that.
She did
mold exposure.
Right at her previous apartment.
Yeah.
So she does have some concerns, but now she's less stressed than she was. She was in a stressful role at work, but she's recently, she got laid off. So in a way it was a blessing in disguise, and she was kind of happy about it. So she's less stressed.
Less stressed and more time to take care of herself. So she can fit in some exercise now.
Yes.
A lot of people don't exercise because they don't have time between, you know, all the work hours. So, you know, start to talk to her about some of that exercise. Like you said, Maria has a bone building exercise class, Maria Horseman. I don't know if she's on tonight. And then Karen Osborne does yoga for bone building, and she's certified and been trained in that. And there's specific ways you do your holds, and you hold them for certain lengths of time that helps with the bone. So those are really good things for her to be doing. And, you know, walking, running, what's that name of that site? Betterbones.com? No. I think it might be betterbones.com. And they actually sell vests that you can wear.
Oh, really? Help
it. Like, you put that on and then you walk, and you just walk around the house. You can do it for a walk in the neighborhood. So even just making her general day-to-day, going in the kitchen, going to the bathroom, whatever, wearing this vest that's intended to help increase the weight bearing can be helpful as well. So I think it's betterbones.com.
Okay.
And she's doing her greens. Did she just start the greens, or had she been doing those before?
She's been doing it for several months now.
Good. And sugar. Okay.
So for the sugar piece, she doesn't eat things with like refined white sugar, but she does like her baked goods. So sometimes she'll cook with, you know, whether it's maple syrup or coconut sugar or things like that. And she'll use tiger nut flour, which is a legume, which might be better than...
It's better, yeah, but it's still got a high carb content. So it depends if she has a carb sensitivity.
Right.
But she doesn't do bad stuff like fast food and all that. Right. But, you know, it's those subtle little changes that can make such a difference and people don't realize.
Yes.
Okay, so let's look here. Gonna make me sign in. I thought I was already signed in. All right. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, here it goes. I'm gonna open it with Google Sheets. Make it easier.
So I noticed the international tab didn't automatically update the color coding with every cell.
No, they're fixing it. Francis found an error on it.
Okay, so I didn't have time to go through it and update it yet.
Francis just told me that. Okay, so, okay. All right. Let's go. Lab International, okay.
So she did have also a GI map test done by her functional medicine doctor, so that informed her for some of the protocol.
Glucose fasting looks fine. You guys in Canada, your doctors don't run very many tests, do they? There's always these blanks, and like, why are they not running normal stuff? Like blood urea nitrogen is a nice indication of digestive function. And creatinine is GFR, let's see. So the GI map, did it show any pathogens?
It did. So she went through a parasite protocol, and then she's finishing up a bacterial protocol, and then they're starting a digestive protocol. So it's quite involved, what she's been.
That's good. Yeah. A lot of holes. So, you know, liver stuff is not done. Globulin out proteins. We just have total protein, but we don't even have protein. Oh, there we are, 72 out here. 7.2. Okay. Let me get this out of the way. I'm going to move this over so I can see it wider. So the original test, and what's the dates on these? Is this 18, 19, and 20, 129, 20. So we don't know really what's happening right now, but back in when she was diagnosed with the osteopenia or osteoporosis, you said it was October, and her blood sugar was, her least fasting was good. So protein is okay, albumin, globulin, alkaphos is okay, her cholesterol is fine, triglycerides are fine. HDLs are fine, LDLs are fine. So I don't see any indications thus far of blood sugar. So, I mean, we don't have A1C or insulin or postprandials, but based on the numbers so far, that triglyceride HDL ratio is perfectly fine. That looks like she's erratic a little bit, or she's creeping up and then down, kind of erratic in her TSH. And that's it. So we don't know anything else about her thyroid. So I would look into thyroid because it's so important for metabolism and so important for everything. White cell counts are really low. Did it do the conversion?
Yeah, I think that was called out as being out of range.
Yeah. Red cells. Hemoglobin's a little on the low side. Oh, it's definitely getting lower here. And we don't have it for 2020. But October is going down a little bit. Hematocrit is on a little on the low side. Okay, so she probably has a B12/folate deficiency given this MCV being so high. All right, I'd like to see that at 90 or below, and she's up at 98. So B12 or folate. Do you remember how to differentiate between B12 and folate? One particular test? And if you haven't gone through that module, I'm not.
The MMA.
MMA, you got it.
Personal experience.
Personal experience, yeah, okay. RDW is reasonable, which is kind of interesting. And we don't see iron. But the RDW is that's the variation in the sizes. So it may just be that she's, usually you see that elevated in an anemia condition. Platelets are on the low side, but not, you know, not terrible. And what is with these labs that won't take a simple percentage and give us a percentage? They give you the absolutes. It's like, it's one little calculation. So if we look at 1.5, 1.3, that's 2.8, 3, 3.1. So that adds up to about what her red blood cells are. So if we look at, it looks kind of like they're close to being, but I don't pretend to be able to do those in my head. So I'm going to open up my little calculator, if I can find it. And so you see what I'm doing. The total white blood cells were 3.1, which those add up to. So we want to go 1.5 divided by 3.1 equals 48%. So she's 48% neutrophils. And then her lymphocytes are 1.3 divided by 3.1. is 41.41. It's a tiny bit above, but it's really close. And then Monocytes, yeah, monocytes are nothing really, pretty much 0.2 divided by 3.1 equals, yeah, 6%. You know, it's not quite, I think the range is, what's the monocyte range? What? Oh, 0.1 to 1, and yours is up to, yeah. Well, the range for the percentage is 0 to 7, yeah. So she's within range on all of her blood cell counts, and eosinophils at 0.1. divided by 3.1 equals 3%. So it's a little high on the eosinophils, which would imply, you know, possibly some kind of allergy, but it's very mild. But I would be looking at maybe something that she's having an allergic, like a histamine type reaction to. Basophils are fine. So I don't see any real major red flags there about infection. And we don't have any of this cool stuff like hemoglobin A1C. I would say that's a good one to get just to rule it out. And I did a talk last night on Facebook about that. It's like everybody should just get one, a routine screening of it. And then if it's fine, then test it again in a few years. But if it's off, then you know you have to look deeper. I mean, you could certainly get her to get a glucose meter.
Mm-hmm. I've suggested that, actually.
Right, because even though the fasting's perfect, it could be that she has hyperinsulinemia, and so it goes up and then down, and it averages, you know, by the time she makes it to the morning, because it's on the lower side. And if for somebody that's eating some sugar, I don't usually expect to see it in the 70s, except if somebody's really conscientious about a low glycemic diet. And it doesn't sound like she's super conscientious. So I would suggest that. Get her a Keto Mojo. Do they have them? Do they work in? Can you get them in?
Yeah, I actually have one, and I've actually suggested to her, like, I had a different model before, and I showed her, I've actually done it in front of her, and she wouldn't try it. So I'm going to keep asking her.
Keep asking her. Yeah. How long has she been off of gluten?
At least 2 years.
Okay, so a little while. That's good. And is she 100%, or does she have slip-ups?
I'm pretty sure she's 100%. She's very strict about it.
Good. Her vitamin Z is low. It was 46. Now it's down to 34. Did it do the conversion yet? Yeah, did the conversion. So she needs, is she taking any vitamin D?
I believe so. I have to double check. She's taking a lot of supplements. I think vitamin D is one of them.
On the D, I would suggest, with it being 34, and given she's got, you know, these other stuff going on, I would recommend she goes to like 8,000 to 10,000 a day for just 6 weeks to 3 months, and then get it tested again. And then she'll probably find a maintenance dose from there that she can back off. Okay. See, this is common. A B12 serum elevation is common with low functional B12. I see it a lot. So she may have some methylation issues.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible.
Have you done any of your own genetics?
Yes, I have. And
do you have methylation issues?
I do. So I'm surprised if my sister has it too.
Right. Right. So B12 is going to be important. Is your sister tend to be high strung, tendency towards depression or anxiety?
Tendency towards anxiety.
Okay. So then I would be careful with the B12 supplementation. If you don't, do you have any COMT genes?
I think so. I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure.
So the risk is that if she has a homozygous COMT too, then you add too many methyl groups too quickly, like just, hey, take this 5,000 milligrams of B12. In methylated form or folate, then it causes more anxiety because those methyl groups can't get processed and we get a buildup of dopamine and, well, dopamine metabolized dopamine, it can't get released. So I would suggest, given we don't know, and look at your own, if you're green on COMT, the likelihood of her being at least green or yellow, I mean, she'd have to be green or yellow. She won't be red. Right? Because if you've got green from both your parents, I think if I do my Mendelian genetic calculations correctly, that's true. I may be off, but most likely she's going to be either a heterozygous or a normal. But if you are red, then I would, you know, even yellow, she has a likelihood that she's got some there. And I would, especially if she tends towards anxiety, then I'd be careful. So what I would do is I would have her get two B12s. I'd get her either a hydroxy, I'd get her adenosyl because she tends to have energy problems and the adenosyl tends to feed the mitochondria. So an adenosyl B12 and then get a liquid liposomal B12. I know Seeking Health's been out for a while, but there are other companies that have it, but Seeking Health may be back in with it. I happen to have a nice bottle of it. When you do, I would just start her on the adenosyl B12 and do it for a week or two and just make sure she just slowly builds up her dose. And once she does that, then she could try the liposomal a drop at a time, right? Like a drop for this day, a drop, and have her watch her mood. Does she feel like biting people's heads off? Does she feel irritable, cranky, anxious, worrying? Then she's taking too much and you back off.
Okay.
Because overall, her blood, you know, other than that and the thyroid, and of course the thyroid can have a huge effect on bone metabolism. Mm-hmm. And then still suspicion over, you know, it's not that likely that she has a big issue with blood sugar, but it's possible, right? It's possible. And I just want her to be careful about that and maybe at least get, is it possible to get a hemoglobin A1C and an insulin just to rule it out?
I can ask her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they are with your medical system. I know it's hard to, for us, it's easy to get it out of. If your doctor won't order it, we just go order it ourselves. So it's not quite as easy, I think, in Canada and Europe. But see, and she has a functional medicine doc. So they, you know, just tell them she wants to rule out blood sugar.
Right.
Because it's a contributing factor. But the thyroid concerns me that it's going up and we don't see antibodies. And, you know, she's doing an autoimmune protocol, but it would be nice to know, are we working with thyroid antibodies? But it'd be also nice to know what her free T3, total T4 are to see if there's a binding globulin problem, a conversion problem, etc. So those are things that I would look into and see if she can get a full thyroid panel.
Sure. And she did, in order, when she first started with her functional doctor, they did a Serix array, but it was, I can't remember which number, but it gave like IgM antibodies and things like that. And it came back all red. And the lab actually called to ask what was going on, whether there's something wrong with the sample. Everything was high. So it showed
the array 5, which tests all the antibodies. So it showed gluten and collagen
I didn't include it because I wasn't sure how far back you wanted to go. Because I think this was in 2018. But it was different because I thought I had the Serix array 5, and the one that she had was different because mine was like it showed, you know, whether it was thyroid antibodies and
yeah, that's 5.
Hers was different. It was more like some of the,
is it the neurologic one?
It was a Serix array one. I'm just trying to remember.
Right, they have one that's a neuro panel. It's a 7 or 10. I don't remember. Once it gets past 5, I don't really know them as well.
Right.
Which one is this? I wonder, was it a food allergy 14. Test?
It was Serix array 14. Everything was out of range except the blood-brain barrier one was the equivocal column. So it has things like IgG plus IgA for intrinsic factor, lipopolysaccharides, IgA plus IgM. Oh, sorry, no, it didn't have intrinsic factor. I was comparing it to mine, what was missing.
Okay.
It had lipopolysaccharides.
Oh, it's the barrier one. It's the one that has leaky gut, leaky brain. So
right.
She has that. So she has leaky gut, and that's what's really important for her to be working on her leaky gut.
Right.
Yeah. Did the doctor put her on a leaky gut protocol?
So they started with a parasite protocol.
Okay. And they did get her off the antigens and they put her on an autoimmune protocol, which is helpful.
Right. And she had actually already started some of the autoimmune protocol before she started.
Before she saw the doc. Yeah. So things that are going to soothe and heal. It could be things like slippery elm, plantain, marshmallow. I hesitate to, without seeing genetics anymore, I hesitate to just blanketly recommend glutamine because some people with glutamine GAD kind of genetics will tend not to do well with glutamine. It'll make them anxious, especially if somebody's...
And I mentioned to her that I had been put on that before and it affected me. I couldn't sleep well and I wasn't feeling well when I was taking it. And she's noticing because that's part of her protocol now that she just started and she thought it was okay, but she hasn't been feeling very well. So she's tried and she felt better when she went off of it. And then she's trying to go back on and see if it makes a difference.
Yeah, I would say it's probably, if you had that reaction and she's your sister, you probably have a bunch of GAD SNPs and it's not working. Okay. So, you know, things like arabinogalactans, Horn has them from larch. And that helps to support the intestinal endothelial lining to build. You know, probiotic foods, probiotic type things, important. So the gut healing is super important in her situation.
And she's just starting on a digestion or gut healing type of protocol now. So
okay, cool. Yeah, so that's the next steps that I would go. Now, as far as the bones, horsetail nettle alfalfa, do it on a daily basis. Put it in smoothies, put it in sauces, a teaspoon to two every day.
Okay.
And then the other nutrients and herbs and foods, and there's great recipes in the recipe guide for the bone healing, but regular, and then the exercise. So those are the important ones. Okay.
The other thing that we were talking about is that she's very sensitive to touch. Like she won't go have a massage. Like who doesn't like massage therapy, but she doesn't even like a scalp massage when she goes to her hairstylist because her skull is very sensitive. So she would like to sort of do something to help get more in alignment. But she's like fearful of going to somebody. And I said, well, I had cranial sacral therapy years ago and it felt like they weren't doing anything until one day it felt improvement. And so I had suggested her to do that. She's been hesitant. And then I had suggested, I think I read in one of your sections that there was a trigger point therapy book at home or something. I thought, well, maybe something like that could help her. So she's always been kind of sensitive that way.
So that's a sensory integration issue. And that could be, there could be an emotional piece to that. You never know if there's emotional trauma from that, or if there, it could be, you know, physiologic, and that could be related to brain chemistry.
What was the first thing you said? An integration?
Sensory integration disorder. Look up sensory. And there are some really cool exercises, brain gym type exercises that help it, and cross crawl patterning that can help with that. There's a bunch of kids. I mean, it's very common in kids. That they don't like the tags on the clothing and
yeah,
look into that sensory integration disorder. There's a couple of good books and there's a couple of good books of exercises that she can do, like cross crawl patterning and things like that.
Okay, cool. I never heard of that.
Yeah,
really cool. Okay,
all right.
That's great.
Thank you.
Anything?
Oh, good job.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. We'll move on to Mihaela. Still there, Mihaela? There you go.
Yep.
All right. So you have a female, age 50, 5'8", 190, stay-at-home mom, married and committed relationship, two children. Inability to breathe well when laying down to sleep, foggy brain, uncontrolled diabetes. Okay. So when you say inability to breathe well, is she having shortness of breath? Does she feel like there's heaviness?
Yeah, she wakes up actually during the night choking. And then when she lays down, she has a hard time. It's shortness of breath. And
it's just laying down, not being up and about.
She's always very stuffed. So for example, on the phone, you can't really, she doesn't enunciate well because of that stuffiness. And so I have a hard time actually even understanding what she's saying when I'm not face to face with her. She's been exposed to mold.
So the mold exposure, but if there's any kind of allergies or stuff, when you lay down, right, it all goes back, right? And it would close off the airway.
So yeah, she has seasonal allergies, gets severe headaches from them. And it's been raining like crazy in Atlanta for the last
few months. Does she have mold that's been in her house that she's identified in her
house? She's had mold in her previous house where she moved out of that one about a year or almost 2 years ago. So all the symptoms started at that time. The house she's in right now, it's brand new, but she thinks that there might be some mold in the bathroom, even in this one. So she's about to test it and just to see where.
Now, the other thing though, with brand new houses, unless you're really conscientious about the building materials, then you get the outgassing from paints and from carpeting or wood or whatever they use. So there's there's the just right, like somewhere in the middle, like a house that's in a dry environment that is not brand new.
Right.
And then she has uncontrolled diabetes. How long has she been diagnosed with diabetes?
So I kind of diagnosed her about 4 years ago. She is very, I'm not going to the doctor. I only do naturopathic doctors and things like that.
Okay.
So when I moved to Atlanta, her blood sugar was running in the 120s. She wasn't on any medication. So then I started putting her on things. I recommended diet. She falls off that wagon with the diet quite often. Partly because she travels like crazy. And so when she travels, she has a hard time staying on the diet. And also because of her children, she goes, does things with them, and she's like, well, I can't do my thing when I'm with them because I...
Well, I'm going to stop you right there. So when somebody says, I can't do that, change it to, no, I choose not to.
Right.
She's making choices, right?
Right.
And she's not committed.
She says she's super, super hungry pretty much all the time. So I'm suspecting parasites as well. She traveled in a lot of third world countries like India and China, Romania including. And so that's a guess. Also, obviously, when you have diabetes, you feel more hungry.
Feel hungry all the time, right?
Her blood sugar runs in, like, I think now she has seen 150s, 160s. What I say by uncontrolled is that she's been on Gymnema, she's been on magnesium and things like that, like trying to control the diet for the last 4 years, and her blood sugar just gets higher and higher and higher.
She's willing to take the supplements because that's easy, right? Pop, right?
Yeah.
But making the dietary shifts is not. And, you know, we know that you can't do one and not the other, right? You need the supplements to go along with the diet changes, but you need the diet changes to go with the supplements. You can't just decide. So has she done any of her own blood sugar testing or A1C?
She does that all the time. I don't think she tested the A1. I tested her A1C, what was that? A couple of years ago, I think I included the lab. It was with SpectraCell, and they did the cardiometabolic.
Okay.
And her A1C, I don't remember what it was.
Okay. So we got to go back to this stuffiness, right? Mm-hmm. She's stuffy when she's out and traveling.
She's stuffy all the time, but she, when she lays down, she has a hard time being comfortable because of the breathing. And then when she finally falls asleep, she wakes up choking.
Right, she's choking on the mucus that's going down and blocking off the passageway. So the reason I asked that is it, because you mentioned the home, but if it was just the home, then if she's traveling for a length of time, she would feel better.
Right. I mean, I think last summer she went finally, usually her travel is very stressful because she travels with her husband for his business, or they go kind of type of travel. Mm-hmm. And this summer, for the first time, she just went with her husband, and she literally just did nothing. She was in Italy, in Tuscany, somewhere like completely relaxing. And so when she did that, she felt better. And that's another piece of the puzzle that she has had in the past probably 7 or 8 years, a very severe family stressor, and it's in the immediate family, not her husband and children. And for the past year or so, she kind of let it go, and she's learning to cope with that. Yeah. And kind of, so all that ties into all this. So,
right. So, you know, for her, a lot of this is foundational habits, right?
Right. And
so it's really the trick with somebody like this is to figure out what's one thing they can do and are willing to do consistently and get them doing it. And then what's a second thing that they're willing to do and get them to do it consistently. Like, you know, if she attempted to go completely gluten-free, low sugar, but how long has she ever gone that way off, like gluten?
She kind of goes a month or two, then she slips off, then she comes back. And
is it, she doesn't notice a difference when she's doing that, or just
does. She usually feels better. Yeah.
Right.
But she just says that she feels, because of all that hunger, and then because of her lifestyle, she's basically taking the kids everywhere. She's their driver. She doesn't take any time to, like, if the kids are in a sport, she volunteers for everything. And I told her to just, I advised her to just, I had other friends before who had the kids in sports, but I remember I would meet them over there and then we go for a run, or we would go for a walk.
Right. You do something self-care.
No, she's just like, I'm taking them there and I'm volunteering for this and for that. And so she has to be present. And so I'm like, well, how about if you just stop volunteering? Well, you can't. I mean, so she constantly finds excuses, and she's that kind of customer where I'm like, but you need to draw the line somewhere, because she says she does all this for her daughters, but then I keep telling her, well, if something happens to you, your daughters won't have you. So,
right. Yeah. So it's, I think part of this is, and this is part of the art of what we do, is really working with people to get at what is that linchpin that's going to cause them to get committed? What is that thing that they want the most that they're willing to work towards?
Yeah.
Right. And because I think that with her, I don't think this is a complicated case in terms of how, you know, it's not like she's been trying this and she's doing this and she's been strict in it, like, not like you, like, you know, or you're like, I did this and I did that. I don't think there's a lot of complex biochemistry going on here. She's overproducing cortisol, and most likely that's causing her to be hungry all the time, because the cortisol levels will do that. I don't know if you've done an adrenal panel or Dutch panel, might be a good thing to do.
Yeah, I haven't.
50? So 50, you know, it's a good thing to do and see what those balances are. Maybe scare the bejesus out of her if something shows up that she's at risk of breast cancer or something in her, you know what I mean? But I think that looking there at her adrenal health, and then she sounds like she's taking an adrenal tonic, but if you're not mapping it to your results, you don't know if you're even taking it at the right time, if it's the right combination of stuff. You can certainly get her on C and quercetin to help with the inflammation in the sinuses and all.
Yeah.
A neti pot.
Yeah.
You know, make sure she does that before she goes to bed. You can put some C in there. Some people put like grapefruit seed extract in there, and I tried it once and it irritated my sinuses for 4 days. So I don't recommend that, although theoretically it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Xylitol in the neti pot can be helpful with the salt, because xylitol can be antibacterial if it is a bacterial infection. Let's look at the labs to see if there's any indication of that. But I don't think, you know, I don't think it's a really tough.
Yeah, she just has a huge toxin load, because she has parasites most likely. I think when she did colonics, they didn't notice anything huge in there, but I bet you she has some. But then she is positive for all kinds of infections and autoimmune disease. So she has, so I think there's a lot of cross reactivity, and that kind of stuff. Yeah, so it's been a year and a half.
This one has adrenal in it. Let's see what it says. Yeah, so slowing down, obviously, getting some meditation in there, self-care breaks. And it's all easier said than done. Why is this not letting me?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Let's see, does she have any thyroid issues? T3
was a bit high, and
C4 overconversion. Does she do any testosterone? Does she have any PCOS tendencies?
I think she does, but I haven't convinced her yet to check her hormones. So with every single test, I've been pretty much working on her for a year or two.
Thyroid antibodies.
Yeah.
26. Yeah. I mean, this says less than 55, but you know, most of them say.
But I just did a Cyrex autoimmune. And so she has thyroglobulin now, and they are high. So.
Oh, wait, this is thyroglobulin, not anti-thyroglobulin. Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the wrong thing. Because the TPO is less than, but we don't. All right. Free T4. Yeah, she's an overconversion.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone is something to look at. And if you're suspicious of PCOS, the testosterone plays in, and that plays into the whole insulin resistance, and they're, you know, it's a vicious cycle. And she's overweight, right?
Yeah.
Has she always been overweight?
No, but she's been overweight after having her children. Her youngest daughter is 14.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why do they call this an adrenal? I don't see adrenal markers. It says comprehensive thyroid.
Because they measure the cortisol.
Ah, there it is. Okay. So here's the DHEA. And her DHEA is right within the range. There's her cortisol. It's 11, so it's within the range, but it's morning, you know, it's not an all, you don't get the variations when they just
right.
Months.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Let's look here.
These are more recent.
Okay. Okay. Blood sugar regulation, cardiovascular risk. She nailed it, right? Gallbladder and liver and toxicity, right? So all of that. Let's see what we have here. All right, let me look at the numbers. It's one thing to look at interpretations, but I like to look at the numbers first. Oh, there we go. Okay. Metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, right? So, you know, clearly from her numbers, there's a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like I said, I want to try to get down.
And her brain is so fogged. Like literally, if I tell her, take this 2 times a day. She's like, can you slow down? I can't follow. And I'm like,
wow.
I told you to take this 2 times a day. And she's actually a friend of mine, and I've known her. She wasn't like this. So
So it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, her A1C is high. Her glucose is in optimal range, but you had said it was in the 150s.
Right. So that day, it just all happened that it was normal.
Just out of the blue, right?
But and that goes to show Cindy's sister, like, just because that morning it was normal, could be.
Right. Alkfos is low, so I'd look at supporting her with zinc.
Yeah.
I have her liver enzymes are high. So she's definitely got a liver issues going on. GGT gets high when, you know, I like to see that 10 to 20, it's 35. He has it at, 10 to 30. But oftentimes it's a toxicity when they're exposed to toxicity. Cholesterol's way high. Triglycerides are way high. LDL, HDL. She's like a cardiovascular accident waiting to happen. Right? Look at these.
Yeah, she had a lot of chest pains as well, and mostly they happen at night again. So from what I've read, that's probably the mold doing all that. She has panic attacks. She has like dizziness spells where she just literally falls down, but she doesn't faint. She doesn't lose consciousness.
Be curious to see where the insulin is right now, because this is an ideal amount. But on the other hand, when it is that low with other numbers high, I start to look at pancreatic insufficiency, because I would expect, given all the other numbers and what you're telling me, that her insulin would be high, her fasting insulin would be high, wouldn't you? Right? So 3.27 is what I'd see if somebody had, an 82 and a hemoglobin A1C of 5.1 and so it may be that the pancreas is burning out. There may be some antibodies, right? There may be anti-insulin antibodies. They may be anti-islet cell antibodies. So those might be things to be looking at.
I think those are okay, because we looked at the the Cyrex thingy.
Okay, so this is just the same stuff all over again.
Yeah.
Let's look back. Zinc comes up, right? That's it. So I would be looking at some of these. We talked about glutathione, right? Maybe helpful for supporting her. Liposomal glutathione worked up slowly because some people have sulfur metabolism issues in their pathways and it gets backed up. So you want to be on the minimum amount of glutathione they could get away with. So I get liposomal and just start with a drop, 2 drops, 3 drops.
Okay.
Make sure she doesn't
even have liposomal?
Yeah, well, the liposomal gets absorbed better, right?
So but you still do just a drop?
I would do a drop and then 2 drops and then 3 drops and then every day just increase it and make sure she's not getting into any, you know, those detoxy feelings like headachy and joint pain and all that, because there's an issue if she does have broken pathways and you feed too much glutathione, then it backs up and then you get a buildup of sulfites and sulfates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if she's sensitive to that, then she could have a problem. So I just go slowly with any kind of detox stuff.
Okay.
Get her on the zinc for sure, because that's important for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so many things. Her liver enzymes are high, and except for Alkfos, which is a little low. They give a good report, so. But I think the GGT GGT goes up with either alcohol or like pesticide exposure, mold exposure, toxic exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Has she seen this report?
Yeah.
What'd she
say? So I send it to her and she still didn't do anything. I mean, as I said, she tries to do things. She feels like she's not supported. Like her husband keeps saying that she's just overreacting. I don't know.
I'll say that if she lands in the hospital with a heart attack.
Well, and she has been like last, maybe it's been now, maybe a year and a half by now, but she actually did go to emergency room with severe chest pain. They found out that there was nothing wrong with her heart. So we think it's just panic attacks that she gets with those chest pains. And they're just weird, random chest pains that we... some of those chest pains actually improved when I put her on AF beta food, like the food enzymes. And so that improved, but now she still has, they kind of came back. And so I'm thinking it's gotta be the mold.
Yeah, I mean, because when you look at this cardiometabolic, here, and this was like, what, a year before the other tests we were just looking at? This is 2018.
Yeah.
Her insulin was high. It was 16.4. Yeah. And her A1C was just a little, is lower than it is now. So she's heading in the other direction, yet her fasting glucose and her insulin are going down. So I'd check that again, and I would do a postprandial. So I would have her order 2 insulin tests, go in, get tested, and then go out to the car and eat her highest typical carbohydrate meal, whatever her little treats are, and then go back and test it again. I wouldn't go do it like, they do the standard glucose tolerance. So they make you drink.
Oh, that's nasty.
Like, that's horrible. But what is the highest carb meal she would typically eat? And you ask her questions so you can tell her what, you know. For me, I would go eat like blueberries and sweet potatoes. That's about as high carb as I would ever get, right? And I've always so I would go test myself on that and see what the insulin does. We want to give a carbohydrate load to see if the pancreas can produce. You know, we don't want her to be going, because this looks like she was producing a lot there, but her current is 3.7.
Yeah.
So if she's moving into a state of pancreatic insufficiency, we want to find that out.
Okay.
But her triglycerides are through the roof.
Yeah.
The other things, the good news is her lipoproteins, her ApoB is a little high, but her VLDL, well, her VLDL is high. Yeah, the VLDAs are high. The dense ones are high. Yep, I was looking at the wrong page. So her dense ones are high. So that's risk.
Yeah.
This is where the risk comes in. The buoyants are in a normal range. It's really high. The omegas, arachidonic acid, the ratio, 13.6. I like to see that more like 4. They're saying less than 5, right? So she's clearly way high there. She's got a decent amount of omega-3s, but a lot more. Does she eat meat?
She does, yeah.
Dairy, eggs, those kind of things?
Yeah, I've been trying to convince her to stay off dairy. She's trying to, then I did a food sensitivity, so she had sensitivity to dairy. So now I think she's more successful, but
this, you know, this is a high arachidonic acid. It's very high, right?
Yeah.
Wait. We don't see the arachidonic. Oh, alone. Yeah. It's interesting that the ratio, the arach is not that high. And but the
EPA is very low. That's why.
Yeah, the EPA is very low. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the omega-3 total. I was looking at the wrong one. EPA is low. Yeah. So she needs a good omega-3 supplement. She needs to get off of the arachidonic acid containing foods. She probably needs, you know, all those cofactors that convert.
Yeah.
Right. She probably needs a good amount of those, the B vitamins. Mm-hmm. She needs to get on more omega-3 rich foods and probably an omega-3. I would take an omega-3 supplement with this profile, because this is a heart attack waiting to happen. And I think you need to have that come to Jesus talk with her. Yeah. Look, I care about you. I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Right? Because sometimes we just try to be nice with people, right? And especially when they're your friends, and that's where that border is. But when people come to us, they ask for help, and we see something that the body's screaming, I'm in trouble, right? She's got out of control diabetes. She's got crazy lipid numbers.
Yeah.
And it needs to get taken care of. And yes, there's some supplements she can add to her regime to make it better. But it's really about the habits and the stress levels and the diet and consistency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if she's doing whatever she's doing for her kids, that is a way, like you said, what your kids aren't going to be, you know, what are they going to do without you? Think about it. Mm-hmm. You know? It happens. Sometimes the first sign that somebody has heart conditions is they drop dead of a heart attack. She's at least got a warning here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has she ever considered fasting?
She is doing intermittent fasting, but I don't think it's helping her. She never eats breakfast.
So what happened? You said she's hungry all the time then. So she
doesn't eat breakfast. But breakfast she doesn't eat. She just runs out the door. She doesn't feel hungry.
Does she grab a cup of coffee? Does she grab some stuff on the way? Or is she truly intermittent fasting? Because if she is, then she has to just...
She says she's truly intermittent fasting. Okay.
And then when she starts to eat, does that trigger like uncontrollable eating?
Yeah.
Yeah. You might want to ask her to just experiment with her eating windows, mm-hmm. and see if she can do a 24-hour. So eat dinner one day, don't eat again till dinner the next day. Keep it light. You know, follow the fasting while feasting kind of protocol with the like 1,000 calories the first day just to transition, and then you're down in the 600-700 calories with fair amount of fat. I mean, she does have some liver stuff, but I think good fats are going to be important unless she's had her gallbladder removed, which you didn't say.
And it doesn't.
True. Yeah. So the good fats and, you know, sugar craving. I just did some research and just did a talk video on sugar cravings. And, you know, one of the reasons is not enough fat in the diet. And fat and protein trigger CCK, cholecystokinin. We talked about that in the gut hormone module. Mm-hmm. And CCK sends a satiety signal. So making sure that her meals have enough protein and fat and not as much carb. But protein, fat, and fiber, the three components of a meal. Not protein, fat, and carb. Protein, fat, and fiber. So the carb is the fiber. The fiber is carb. But it's a carb that's going to slow everything down. But the protein and the fat will trigger the CCK and also some of the opioids, right? So the fats will take away some of that craving. As long as it's combined with fiber, just pure fat alone, like some of these people drinking lard, not good, but huge amounts of vegetables with good fat and a good amount of fat, and that will leave her satiated, right? But it's when you eat the carbs that, you know, it's a bottomless pit. And sleep is really important.
Yeah.
So the next day, you know, leptin and ghrelin levels are off when you don't get enough sleep. The insulin levels are crazy. So yeah. I would follow up with this and see if you can do a fasting and postprandial insulin, just to see, right? And though they did see peptide, but they didn't do the anti, you said it on the Cyrex, they did.
Right.
Which one's that? Is that this one?
Yeah.
A12, okay.
Oh, so maybe I didn't send you the...
So this is they're testing for antibodies to these particular bacteria, right?
Right. And everything is lit up. I think some of it is cross reactivity. But like that chlamydia, the heat shock protein, that clearly shows that her cells are just bursting and.
Healing leaky gut, super important. Mm-hmm. Low glycemic diet, balanced fat, protein, and fiber, and all the rest of the stuff you already know. But really, it's all coming together, right?
Yeah.
Which one's this?
Maybe that. Yeah, that's the one.
All right. Okay.
Did I add twice the same thing?
Oh, it's the same one. Maybe I clicked the same one.
No.
Well, you must have thought you did the. Did she do a 5?
She did a 5, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you just send it to me at nept@drritamarie.com, I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Because it's important. Those are important things to know. So leaky gut's critical to all of this. She's got allergies and she's got reactions to a lot of different environmental and gut kind of bugs. And the thing, so does she take vitamin C?
She does. On and off, she says that she gets a back pain in the kidney area when she takes more than 3-4 days of vitamin C. And she does take good quality of vitamin C. She gets Dr. Jaffe's. Mm-hmm. And but I don't think she does it. Yeah, it's now, yeah. And
no,
then
now
she's taking the liposomal one, Dr. Mercola's liposomal. But I don't know how consistent she is with.
She needs consistency because the C up and the down is not going to really do it. And if she gets the kidney pain from too much, you probably don't want her to do a bowel tolerance test, you know, a vitamin C flush, because that would not be comfortable.
Yeah. But
you can get her to, if she gets the pain from in the kidneys after it's three grams, then have her do 3 grams there and then add liposomal.
No, after a few days of doing it, that's when she gets pain. And it's not after 3 grams. And I have some of that, and I actually talked to Dr. Jaffe about that. And then I tested myself for the heavy metals. And so vitamin C actually binds a bit of the mercury. And I really thought I was going to have tremendous amounts of mercury in my system. And when I measured it after taking vitamin C and doing flushes for a couple of years, I found no mercury in me. So, and when I actually get that pain, also the urine gets very cloudy. Mm. And she reports the same thing. So what I think it's happening, I think she's excreting metals or toxins or something.
Right. You know what you might try? Adding some modified citric pectin, like the Pectisol.
Okay.
That will bind to the metals and yank it out through the digestive tract, so it won't necessarily all get in. Like, it'll release and then send it out.
Okay. So
it's a slow kind of chelation, but that can be helpful with all that she has going on here.
Okay.
But I would see if she can get on a level of C that she can do consistently, and I'm add quercetin, especially before she goes to bed at night. The quercetin is an awesome antihistamine.
Okay. I have her on...
Come closer because you just got
I have her on Albizia for which is an antihistamine, but I will tell her about the
Albizia. I thought Albizia was Magnolia. No, what is Albizia? I know the common name. What's the common name?
Let's see. I
remember looking it up. I remember looking up something else and going, oh, it's Albizia. I thought it was Magnolia. Let's see. What Magnolia was easier. Let's see.
It says
nervous system, herbal,
Mosoide Fabicia.
I hope that's a common name.
It's called, commonly called silk plants, silk trees. Huh. And
okay, maybe I'm confusing it with something else.
Silk tree.
Mimosa. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh.
It's a great one for grieving. I've used this a lot for grieving. I was looking it up for somebody who has had a death in the family, and I was looking up mimosa, and Albizia kept coming up. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. Yes, the mimosa.
Well, then that should help her, because that's pretty much what she's doing right now. She's grieving for a few reasons. So that's part of her stress.
Yeah. So this is very good for stabilizing your nervous. Is she consistent with it?
What's that?
Is she consistent with it?
I think she just takes it, but maybe she should take it all the time. But she takes it only when she...
I would take it at bedtime for sure, and then once other time.
Okay. Let me just see. There she is. Okay. Results. Okay. So let me send this do you want to see that? I can tell you. There's three things.
Tell me. You don't have to send it to me. Just tell
me. The thyroglobulin is out of range from RA5. The phospholipids, which makes me think lupus, and fibrillin. And then she has four that are equivocal, which, so osteocytes, hepatocytes, like the P450,
mm-hmm.
and then myelin, and I don't know how to pronounce that one, asialoglycoside.
Okay, that doesn't sound familiar. All the others, of course, are. So she has antiphospholipid antibodies.
Yeah.
Did she ever have infertility problems or miscarriages?
She had 7 miscarriages.
Oh, antiphospholipids. That's a common cause.
Yeah.
So leaky gut, heavy metals, stress, like all of those things are... Right, they're the things that she needs to be doing, not just, you know, it was Cindy's person that was doing the AIP diet, but something like that. Like, she needs to be on a really strict diet for at least a month, just to really, really strict.
Okay.
All right, but this gut has to be healed.
Yeah.
And the only way it's going to heal is if she stays off of the allergens.
Yeah. And as long as she has mold, that also is not... And then if she has heavy metals, that's also not going to heal her gut. So,
right. So I would look at that. I know that we had a call, what was it, last week, and we were talking about mold. Was it mold we were talking about? And Lynn Rose was mentioning some homeopathic stuff from a company that she uses. And what's the company name?
Is that Cellcor?
Cellcor, yeah.
I just put her on that. So she's repeating phase 1 just because she felt, so she has severe constipation. And when I put her on Tatka, it started. So she's like, I want one more month of making sure that I'm eliminating. I'm like, okay. So she's.
Yeah, she needs to make sure she's eliminating, because she can't just start,
right,
you know, pulling heavy metals out of storage,
right,
if she's not eliminating. So 2 to 3 bowel movements a day.
Right.
Important. And then I would say that's where the modified citrus pectin comes in handy, because it's just going to help pull that stuff out.
Okay.
So I would add the modified citrus pectin, the vitamin C, the quercetin, keep going on that. And then.
And fish oil.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure she's taking fish oil right now.
Because she needs that for 2 things, right? I mean, she needs it for her cardiovascular, but she needs it for inflammation. So her homocysteine looked okay, I think.
Yeah.
I would say minimum 2 grams.
Okay.
Yeah, minimum 2 grams. And given some of those lipid things, niacin can be helpful, CoQ10 can be helpful.
She's doing, I forgot to mention that she does the, she's been trying to do, she's taking niacin actually, not niacinamide, niacin. Mm-hmm. And...
how much?
She's taking, I want to say, high doses, like either 250 or 500. I'm not sure how much she, without flushing, because she's been doing it for a while. She wanted to, I started her on that originally with the idea to do the sauna, get the niacin, and then, but I think she's just doing, she has a sauna at home, but it doesn't work. So I, next thing I knew, she was just doing it, but she feels better when she,
well, the niacin is helpful, and the niacin's helpful there. 250 to 500 is not considered high dose. It's flushing, but it's not considered high dose for cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
There's something called slow niacin
that's, right,
you know, released, and you usually take like 2000 a day.
Right.
When you do slow niacin.
Right.
So those are the things to look at. And then CoQ10.
And interestingly, now that I'm saying this, I don't think I measured her since she's been doing niacin. I don't know if I measure, if she has any tests that are like cholesterol ones, because niacin is the best cholesterol medication, really.
Right. Her cholesterol was 386. wasn't it?
But the triglycerides, I think, were very high.
Triglycerides were, though, the other one was too. Let's see, it was in the
cardiac. Yeah, it was like in the 200s. But I don't think, and this was from this summer. Okay. So maybe I'll have her go up on the niacin.
You could. I mean, you know, you be careful. Vasodilation is good, but flushing, like you have a sunburned full body, is not so comfortable. Cholesterol it's 265.
Yeah.
LDLs are 152, but her VLDLs are super high.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So she really does need to get that coming down. All right. Any other questions? Anybody else have any comments? See, this is my thing. Who else is on? Anybody else on here that can offer some insights? I haven't looked at the chat to see if anybody was putting it in the chat. Oh, I see. This is covering it. That's why I'm not seeing it. All right. So here we go. Is here Elaine, Gina, Gina, hey, you're finally on a call, yay. Thea, okay, cool. Designs for health, okay, somebody is having some suggestions here, so
yeah,
Thea, better bones, thank you, that's right, that's what I was thinking. B12 supplement brand, I personally use Seeking Health, and I know that they've been out of it for a while. If you want to take a sublingual capsule, that the perk one is hydroxy. Yeah,
that's so hydroxy.
Yeah,
but that it's one. Together with folate, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's good study. I'm going to make a copy of that. Thea said there's a study here that says liver blood test abnormalities may be the only presentation of atypical cardiovascular disease. And we see those a lot. Cindy says, I take Designs for Health B Complex, not sure about a B12 only. Yeah, the other one that has it is Amy Yasko's company has several of them in the form. The other one, I know it's overseas, it's in London, but they do deliver to the US and it's not that expensive, like $10 or $15 to ship. And it's called Metabolics. And they have liquids of everything. They have liquids of B in every form, B6, B12 in every form, B6, all the individuals. So that's a good one.
Cindy, what's her name, Cindy? What's the name of what you just mentioned, the brand?
Metabolics.
Metabolics.
Yeah, it was mentioned by Cindy. We have Cindy and Thea. Cynthia. Yeah.
It's metabolics.com, or do you know?
I think it's just metabolics.com, yeah. And if you get a bunch of stuff at the time, if it's $15, $20 to ship, it's not a deal if you're ordering one bottle, obviously. But yeah. Okay. Oh, and Thea said that was from Tom's certified good practitioner course. Elaine says, I like the Designs for Health Lipo B Supreme, but received a complaint about flavor. Okay, so Lipo B Supreme. Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot more companies that are doing. Now, the other thing that is a good way to get vitamins into people with bypassing the digestive tract is topical. And there's a company called Patch MD, and they have patches for almost everything you can think of. So they're just like used to be, you could just get B12 as a patch, and they came out with the D3 as a patch. And now it's a great solution for people who either don't like to swallow things, or their gut's impaired and they can't really absorb so well.
That's great. I, my mom, like, she has diabetes. She's on medications. I need her to be on magnesium and she can't tolerate any of it. I cannot get her vitamin C. So this is great.
Yeah, try the Patch MD. That was something that Janine told us about. And I've looked at their stuff and they have a lot of choice. They have some combos. You know, they have an immune system combo. That might be a good thing to be doing these days with all the, you know, the virus things. You just wear the patch for a couple of days and you get a lot of that stuff absorbed. They have stress patch, they have a sleep patch, and then they have separate individual nutrient patches. So I would look at that. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. And she's used a lot of them, and she said they, you know, the ones she's used worked really well. You know? Patch MD.
Biotin. Nice.
Yeah.
K2, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you just have people pop them all over their body, and they don't have to worry about, right, their absorption and their the taste. Who cares what it tastes like? It's not going in through your taste buds, and it gets absorbed. So you just make sure you do it in vascularized areas. So behind, you know, at the hairline is a good place because there's a lot of vessels there. You can, you know, do it like backs and knees. You just be careful about places that you're going to be, you know, getting a lot of friction on that might knock it off. But, you know, here in this area, if you're not wearing a low cut, you can put it in this area because it's pretty thin and vascular. Cool.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at this.
Good. All right. How
Thank
are we doing?
You.
Anybody else? Did you guys learn a lot? Oh, CellCore is not homeopathic. Lynn Rose, right. what was some of the things you were talking about the other day? Well, I think we were talking mold, right? Yeah, we were. There were a couple of things you mentioned that you liked for the mold that I guess were homeopathic. Go ahead and type those in if you're still with us. And if you want to pop on, Lynn Rose, that would be great. We could just share your wisdom and brilliance with the rest of the group. There was this
I walked away from the room.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, for mold, we had this conversation the other day and I forgot to write down the specific stuff, but you had mentioned a couple of things that you put people or that somebody could do for the mold exposure and the mold detox.
Well, again, the binders and the sauna were the mainstay of that. Okay.
So the modified citrus pectin.
I like the CellCore stuff plus, you know, some of the Quicksilver stuff. And, you know, because homeopathically we have special remedies that we order that are antifungal and, you know, but they're not something you can go buy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a company called BioResources that if you're a practitioner, you can buy from them. And they have all sorts of biological remedies that are really awesome. For everything, that's the mainstay of what we use, but it's not something this for that, you know.
You have to be really analyzing and figuring it out.
Exactly.
There is a thing that if you go on to like the Unstoppable Health Facebook group or Vital, Sandy Zeitman's been super excited about some stuff. She's been doing a protocol that she found for mold and heavy metal, and that it's helped her tremendously, and it's helped her overcome some of her allergies. Like she has not been able to eat ginger or turmeric for years, and now she can.
Okay.
And I've got to just go back in and grab that information. Well,
the Quicksilver, they encourage a lot of the things like glutathione and things like that to get the things detoxing.
Right.
But if you look at the lab tests that, you know, for mold, the mycotoxin test, every single one of the toxins, that's the recommendation they have is binders and sauna.
Yeah. Right. So it makes sense. Binder, sauna, sleep,
reduce
stress, eat well, get off of allergens, heal your leaky gut, right? All the basic stuff that applies. It's just always hard to get people to do it. But
number one is get out of the environment.
Right. Right. Which sounds like she did a year ago and you think she might have some mold.
It did. But what I'm thinking of is like, so the mold, the other house was in the master bedroom. Bathroom. So I don't know if she changed the furniture when she moved, her clothes.
Stuff dealt with.
Anything that's porous, you've got to either get rid of or do some kind of major.
You know, using the stuff like I mentioned last time with the candles and all that helped too. When I had my room done, all the molds and stuff went away except for Candida. Candida was still in the room, but it was all within the limits that are normal. So it wasn't anything major, but doing the plates, you know, was helpful too.
Right, so I had her, but she just got a huge cold. So right now she's out of commission. like, and actually she worries me because she's just not getting better at all with absolutely anything that I told her to do. And she's doing it, but she's just not getting better, which with this immune system, and I'm not surprised. But
I like Cellcore, the way they do it is the order they do it, you know, with dealing with the heavy metals and all that. First, the parasites and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, she repeated phase one. So,
It's pretty, to me, it's pretty gentle. I mean, I usually react to most things like that, and their stuff doesn't bother me. So,
I like it. Because so many people, she had some liver stuff going on, and it's going to be sluggish getting rid of.
Yeah, getting her liver strengthened and cleansed, that's going to be real important.
And you can look at the, you know, standard stuff like milk thistle, and she can eat it. She could, you know, get milk thistle seed extract and stick it in smoothies or soups or whatever. And it's just real easy. She doesn't have to have another pill to take.
And the castor oil packs. And
the castor oil packs, right. But it's a lot of work. That's why I said, you know, you're really going to have to sit with her, have a come to Jesus talk and say, okay, what's one thing we can do this week? What's the second thing we can do? Get her to do one and then get it good at it, do the next and the next, because she's overwhelmed, right? And if you give her this long list of everything to do. Right. But I'm concerned, these numbers are showing that you're at risk. And I think I need you to do something. I care about you. I want you to do something here. We can't let this go. This is the stuff that's on my list. The stuff I believe is the most important to start with is this one. What do you think? Is that a good one? Or if not, pick one off the list and let's start with it.
Yeah. All
right. It's going to take
I've been trying to work with her to find the method to de-stress and to also get her to slow down because she's on a go, 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 go lifestyle. I mean, and she's a stay-at-home mom, but she has so much to do that, again, like she doesn't take any time for herself. And
that's a biggie. Like that's the thing that so many moms and busy people and caretaker types do is, I'm not going to take care of me. It's more important to take care of them. And what they don't realize is you don't have the cycles to take care of them unless you take care of you.
Yeah.
Right? How can you take care of somebody if you're laying in bed exhausted? Yeah. How do you take care of somebody if you have a heart attack? Worst case is like my mom left my sister when she was 13 years old and she's a Down syndrome child, right? My sister needed her. I keep calling her my daughter. She's young enough to be my daughter. She's 21 years younger than me, but she left her behind. She wasn't thinking of her. I'm not going to give up my smoking. It's too much work, right? Was she thinking about this child, right? My brother became alcoholic and went off the deep end because he was 19 years old and, you know, struggling to get his life together. And now both his parents are gone, right? Within 2 years of each other. That's the thing, is that she has to be made to think about those other people, not just you. You take care of you because that way you're available to take care of them. What's going to happen if you have a heart attack and these kids don't have you?
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes we just have to be so direct with people.
Yeah.
And it's hard, right? It's hard, but
yes,
we got to make those decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Anybody else have any input? I'm going to go to my other call, which I'm a half an hour late for. I'm taking a program that I'm learning some stuff that
I came just because the calendar stuff and the NEPT news said it started at 7:30. So
it's been changed. And last week's newsletter said somebody showed it to me. I just lifted it.
Well.
Huh. Everybody else was here. So you may have been looking at the last one because it was, and Jazzy even showed me a picture of it in the,
Oh, well.
And I looked and I said, okay, good. Cause I was concerned about
it
that.
It sounds like I missed a good one because this is exactly the people that I'm working
with. I would say go back and listen to this one. We did two cases. Cindy had a case, which was her sister, and Mahela, person that she's been working with and is a friend, and they're good cases. Right. And Mahela's is not a complicated case in the sense that it's not like, she's been doing this and that. And what's this complex biochemistry that's going on? It's a clear cut case if she does the work. Right. if she does what she needs to do. So yeah, I would say go back and listen to it. I'm sorry about that, Lynn. I know that I, here we go, call time. She showed me the picture and the hour before went out at 5 o'clock central. And the calendar shows it at 6 o'clock central. So yeah, you must have just missed it. It's easy to do. Yeah. But you'll go back and listen and download it.
That's why I try to come live, because it's like,
I know it's hard to go back.
Coming to a recording, listening to a recording are pretty new.
Right. But it was good. I think it changed because I originally had it on my calendar for 8. Yeah, it was originally, but then the reminder came for 7.
Yeah, and I'm actually busy working on my slides for tomorrow's ERC FMC call, so I wasn't looking at my email.
Right. Sorry about that, guys.
Okay.
So I don't see anybody else coming in. Well, there's Valerie. Maybe some other people thought it was this time. All right, so if you were late, go watch the video, and I apologize for that. We did change this.
I know there was another call that was changed, and I got that changed on my calendar.
Hmm.
But
yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, guys. You guys take care. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.